Almighty God, without whose help labor is useless, without whose light search is vain, with an unworthy servant here gathered together in thy name, do most humbly beseech thee to send down thine heavenly wisdom from above to direct and guide us in all our deliberations and in our silent private interest, prejudices and partial affections. The results of all our counsels may be to the glory of thy blessed name. Amen.
Mr. Speaker, honorable members, the time is past 10. I move that we suspend SO52 to commence the business of this house.
Any seconder?
I so second, Mr. Speaker.
Any seconder?
I so second, Mr. Speaker.
Any counter motion? It has been moved and seconded that we suspend SO52 to commence the business of the House. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those against say nay. The ayes have it.
Speaker, honorable members, but I crave the indulgence of the House to amend the order paper accordingly. Item 3 is now deleted and item 4 becomes item 3 accordingly. The substantive Minister of Water Resources is not available in the country and he cannot therefore.
Honourable members, I'm sure we are not averse to that amendment. We'll proceed, Mr. Clerk. The order paper is amended accordingly.
Record of votes and proceedings for Tuesday, 15th March 2016.
Honourable members, the 15th of March is definitely was on Tuesday, but the cover is telling us Thursday, so please let us amend that first. Page 1. Page 2. Page 3. Page 2. Page 3. Page 3.
Page 3. The following members of parliament we are absent. Number 21, Mr. Speaker, was present.
Mr. Clerk, where are those who are supposed to keep attendance? Where is Anthony? Where is Binto?
He's supposed to be in the chair.
Where is Mr. Anthony? Where is Mr. Anthony? Mr. Clerk, please take notes. Number 21, page 3. Page 3, yes.
Following members who are absent.
43, yes. Mr. Clerk, take notes. He should be under those with excuse. 43. Any more on page 3? Page 4? Page 5?
Five.
under the following honorable members' book on the to the motion. My name is not being mentioned here. I did make some contributions yesterday.
Mr. Clark, who did these vote and proceedings for yesterday?
We did it as a team, sir.
There are so many mistakes. So many.
It was you actually to the emergency.
What emergency? That is not a justification for doing that.
Same page 5.
Order. Page 5.
Page 5, item 7. My name carries an H.
The Fofana.
Fofana, please.
Honorable Paramount Chief, your name is also not mentioned. Mr. King, the mistakes are too many. Exactly, and you could make some mistakes, but not as major as those ones. People who contributed, when I remember, is that the way you say yes, Mr. Speaker? Mr. King, please treat this record of vote and proceedings very seriously. You have a team, you are not alone. So, emergency or pressure or whatever is not an excuse. Your office is fully staffed. Page 5. Sure, yes. Order! Honorable Mr.
Page 2. Please, I'm sorry to bring you.
No, it's okay. I've granted the permission.
Honorable Foya is ill and he's hospitalized. So, we cannot say he's absent. Without excuse.
Number 10.
Yeah.
So 10 and 43 were absent with excuse. And 21, Honorable Swilo, was indeed in the world. And you are seated right opposite where he is sitting. So I wonder why you have to mark him absent. You are very close to him. Order. Honorable Spain. Page 5.
Page 5, I'm also excused.
Mr. King. This, Mr. King, this is serious, eh? This is. Yes. That's what I think so. I wonder what the take of the house is. But it's better for them to take it back. Go do it proper and bring it back. Too many corrections are terrible. We can't have all the corrections. You should have yours. Honorable member, take your seat, please. So, Mr. King.
51.
Honorable Kode Yoma, Honorable Mandy Spain, the Chief. Maybe there are some more that are absent today who made contributions yesterday. So please, Mr. King, endeavor to do what is right. Yes, Doctor. Order!
The members that are out on CPA, on ACB, Honorable Kuyembe,
Lewali,
they are all absent. No, but did you, excuse me, is the majority leader absent? Did you mark him absent? No, we want to know, is the majority leader.
Doctor, don't altercate with them. Let us look at the papers, please. Your point is noted, Doctor. They are going to address all these issues because the leader is marked absent with excuse. Doctor? Dr. Bennett Lahai, your point is noted. When they take back the Mr. King, don't allow Mr. Yansanet to take you away from me. Are you with me? What did I just say?
He said that you vote back and make all the necessary amendments.
Yes, and that the leader was marked absent with excuse, and he's leading a delegation. So if he's marked absent with excuse as a result of that trip, members of the delegation must follow likewise. So you go back to this paper, do the corrections today, and let me look at it, please. Yes, Honorable Munu. Honorable member, No, he has a mobile mic.
Mr. Speaker.
What page are you referring us to?
Page 2.
Page 2, you are taking us back.
Back again.
No problem.
Mr. Speaker. Page 2.
Yes. Yes, tell us.
Yes, number 51. I'm not from Kenema district. I'm from Kambia district.
Please take note. 51. So, but Honorable Munu, do you have the mic with you? You've lost it again. You've just told us about your district. So you are coming from constituency 17, I believe.
No, sir, I'm not from constituency 38. I'm from.
But you've not amended that.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry, sir. Constituency 38.
Thank you very much.
This is constituency 17. I'm not from I'm in Kenema district. From Kambia district. Masumbala Chief Dom. Masumbala Chief Dom.
So Hold on to the mic.
Yes, Mr. Speaker.
So you are from what constituency?
Constituency 38, Kambia district.
38. Do you want to look at your name again?
Aliyu Badraki Munu.
Is it properly spelled?
No.
So you can't spell your name?
No. Badara. B-A-D-A-R-R-A. Badara. Aliyu.
I-E-U. Not A-L-I-U-E.
Aliyu.
Not A-L-I-U-E.
U-E at all.
So you want that to be corrected as well?
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. PC Masumbala Munu.
Yes. They marked him absent. Honorable, but there is a letter to the effect that he was going to travel. There is a letter to the effect for Ansu Kaikai. There is a letter to the effect. There is a letter to the effect addressed to the speaker. Ansu Kaikai. He's under excuse. Yeah. Any more on page 5? Honorable Makonte, do you have anything under page 5? Page 6. Page 6. Mike, please. Oh, Tyre Welly. So is that your name?
That's not my name, Mr. Speaker.
So do you want to spell your name for us? So we'll like.
I am T-A-R-A-W-A-L-L-Y.
Thank you very much.
Welcome.
But of late, he has not been cooperating with me. Mr. Antolo, he was very versatile.
Any more on page 6? No. Honorable members, Dr. Barnett Lai, the question I'm going to put is very simple. That these votes and proceedings be withdrawn for proper editing and compilation. All those in favor say aye. All those against say nay. The proceedings are withdrawn accordingly. The record of the votes and proceedings. Mr. King, I'm sure we're going to have a meeting today, myself and your whole team. And Mr. Carpenter, I will be very grateful if you are present together with the clerk. And the Chief Whip. Mr. Chief Whip, please. Thank you very much. Mr. Clerk.
Bill.
Honorable JB.
The National Social Security and Insurance Trust Amendment Act 2016. Introduction and first reading. The Minister of Labour and Social Security.
Mr. Speaker, Honourable Members of Parliament, I move that the bill entitled the National Social Security and Insurance Trust Amended Act 2016 be read the first time.
Honourable Members, the question is that the bill entitled the National Social Security and Insurance Trust Amendment Act 2016 be read the first time. All those in favour say aye.
Aye.
All those against say nay. The ayes have it.
Bill entitled the National Social Security and Insurance Trust Amendment Act 2016 has been read the first time. Second reading.
Mr. Speaker, Honourable Members of Parliament, I move that the bill entitled the National Social Security and Insurance Trust Amendment Act 2016 be read the second time. Mr. Speaker, Honourable Members of Parliament, the establishment of a second Deputy Director General, born out of an administrative convenience and out of practice over time, 12 years, had proven to be beneficial, given improvements in the operations of the trust, the decision and prudent, expedited and thoughtfully, carefully thought out. The organization is inborn with three broad areas comprising first, administration and human resources, secondly, operations and benefit payment, and finally, investment. These three broad areas would be functionally and effectively supervised between the two deputy generals. Due to the peculiar nature of the trust activities and its continued expansion and growth, the need for the two director generals cannot be overemphasized. Over the years, the trust operations have expanded and continued to grow. It has increased in employee numbers and committees. The trust membership has increased activities such as registration of employers and employees, inspection of establishment, and contribution collections and maintenance of data on establishment and employees, generation of social security numbers, production of social security cards, statements of account, and processing and payment of benefit have all increased over the years. With the Trust's current strategic objective, which includes the incorporation of the informal sector and establishment of the Sierra Leone Social Health Insurance, SLESI, scheme, there is a justification and relevance for a second deputy general who will superintend over these new portfolios. Management and investment of funds and other activities have also continued to increase considerably. The Trust has, over the years, had a series of investments, ranging from real estate to hospitality. The Trust also has a number of subsidiary companies that should be closely monitored. These and other traditional investment ventures are being undertaken and need to be properly monitored and supervised. A second Deputy Director General will make work light and provide room for efficiency and effectiveness. The proposed model will give the Director General ample time to design, develop policies and strategies for the Trust, review management systems, supervise the effectiveness of the institutional structure and management processes, ensures the implementation of administrative and board decisions, among others. These strategic functions of the Director General are hampered by the current situation. In most cases, the Director General will have to bend backwards to support the one overburdened Deputy Director General. A second Deputy Director General will reduce the burden on the DG. In a report from the ILO on governance of social security systems, a guide from board members in Africa,
Doctor,
the administrative structure of NACIT with a director general and supported by two deputy director generals is cited as best practice for social security institutions in Africa. Expected benefits and target beneficiaries. The proposed amendment stands to benefit the entire organization, the Board of Trustees, management staff, contributors, pensioners, in the following ways, among others. Board of Trustees will restructure its subcommittees to reflect the system that will provide swift services. It will curtail the number of times subcommittees meet to deliberate, thus saving costs. Mr. Speaker, at the end of Mr. Speaker, I move that the bill read the second time.
Honorable members, the question is that the bill be read the second time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, honorable members, I rise to lend my support to the passage of this bill. In doing so, I'll be brief, but would start by recalling the historical precedent, and then continue with a brief explanation of the current operational context necessitating the legalization of what has been in practice for 10 years, 2004 to 2014. Let me start with the historical context. We will all recall that NACID was established by an Act of Parliament, number 5 of 20 July 2001. That reminds me that this year would be the 15th year, and I think that should be celebrated. But it was established as a statutory trust to administer the National Pension Scheme of Sierra Leone. At its inception, the World Bank and the government contracted a certain Mr. Ajay for a limited time to establish the trust, set the structures, and transfer knowledge to whoever would take over from him. In the same year, a core staff was recruited with a director general and a deputy director general by an interim establishment board. And guess who was the head of, who was the chair of that board? Can somebody guess here? That was His Excellency Dr. Ernest Bai Koroma, then MD of RITCOP. So they employed this core staff with a single director, a single deputy director. At the end of the term of Ajay, Mr. Koroma became the director of NACID after a very rigorous recruitment procedure. It was during that time that a certain Mr. Dao was the deputy director general. But very soon, the establishment of a second, or the appointment of a second deputy director general was to come with the demise of Mr. Dao. Yes, I think it's Siddiqui Dao. At that moment,
he is.
Yes.
Yes, you are right.
At that moment, His Excellency Dr. Ahmed Tidjane Kabah, may his soul rest in peace, thought it wise to appoint a second deputy director general in the name of Mr. Gayenga. Gayenga.
No, maybe Gaima, not Gayenga.
Gayenga.
Exactly. Sir Gayenga.
If you would listen, you would know some historical facts.
Where are you by then?
And what was the reason for this? For administrative convenience.
Order.
That's the reason that we know. That was the publicized reason. There could be other reasons. But then, at that moment, the two positions of deputy director generals had been created. So, at that moment, they thought it worth the benefit to divide the institution to two directorates, operation and administration. The administration directorate would cover a number of divisions and sections. then the membership would also cover. And this all happened at a time when the trust had only 50 employees, 50. And for administrative convenience, these positions were created. Going fast forward, the organization has grown, the trust has grown to 295 employees and 15 committees, in contrast to the 5 committees then. Now, is that not a justifiable reason that seeing the massive growth of this organization to have these positions legalized? Because this has been going on until 2014. I wouldn't go into the details that led to this current situation that they now call legally one deputy director. I wouldn't go into that. Now, what of the massive expansion? Since 2003, regional offices were established, regional managers were recruited, and then various issues arose. The core functions were registering employers and employees, collecting contributions, generating numbers, and so on. But even that simple core functions have created associated functions, like policing. NACIT now has to police non-compliant institutions because there are huge sums of money out there that should have been contributed by employers. Also, institutions have not been too keen in registering their employees as members of NACIT. Above all, as the minister has spelled out, the activities of NACIT have expanded. They not only now collect contributions and put them safely in the bank for further disbursement to beneficiaries, but they've also expanded into other fields. Investments. We all know about NACIT investments in housing, hotel and tourism, and also a lot of subsidiary companies have been created by NACIT. Then, all these expansions have created the necessity of more supervision, more information dissemination, and also more coordination, not only within NACIT, but also outside there with other institutions. In my brief spell as chair of the Labour Committee, I've had several occasions to discuss and work closely with NACIT. And I've been aware of the huge responsibilities, huge tasks they have. One, in the process of registration, there are enormous difficulties because people have to be schooled through. Employers are not too keen in educating their employees as to how to complete those forms. So when the period for receiving benefits come, it is then NACIT staff realize that Mr. Abu, who was employed by some mining company, failed to properly complete his form at that period. And there were no heirs to benefit from the contributions of Mr. Abu. But also, these developments have created other problems for NACIT because there is lack of information somewhere. People move from job to job. If they had an account when they move from one other job, the employers on the other side fail to inform NACIT in time. Then this creates problems of coordination.
Now remember, there are others who will have to contribute.
Having said this far, I will no longer go into the intricacies of NACIT investments and so on and so forth. And that is not the purpose, I think. That is not the purpose of this debate. We are here to see the necessity. We are here to see the necessity of having two director generals. And there is a point. I want to end with a point. I want to end with a point that the minister made that I want to spell out here. We in this country often point out outsiders, outside institutions as good practice. we fail to appreciate our own developments and our own good practices, like HE always tells us here. Now, NACIT's administration, with a director general supported by two deputy director generals, has been considered as best practice in Africa by no other institution but the ILO. The ILO has a report titled Governance of Social Security Systems, a Guide for Board Members in Africa. And NACIT's form of administration has been noted in that document as best practice. And now, currently, there are other institutions willing to learn from NACIT. And we in this country fail to recognize that we are also making our marks. We are also becoming examples. That is why, honorable members, honorable colleagues, I would strongly advise that we speedily ratify this bill. I thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Honorable Kodoma, you were seated whilst Honorable Brahma was up. Yeah, I saw you, Payan, and Brahma. Yeah, but he stood up very late. He's my
Uncle.
And then before you are punched, please endeavor to be brief.
Yes, Uncle.
Yes, sir. Mustafa.
Yes, I'll be very brief.
Please.
Mr. Speaker, honorable members, this is really indeed a very good move by the trust to have another deputy director general. And it's also an opportunity for some of us who have had some experience with the operations of NACIT. It's an opportunity for me today, because the justification given by the minister is really on the right track because of the massive expansion and some of those things that are happening that are not in the interest of some of us. Mr. Speaker, honorable members, in the operations of NACIT, and I'm glad to reveal this today, and I hope that the creation of the office of another deputy director general will help solve some of these problems. I am one of those in this country representing many others who have worked in this country for quite a long time and have moved from jobs to jobs. And I want to tell this house that even when I worked for several years in NACSA, I had only payment of my NACIT contribution for 1 year. When I contacted NACSA, there were documents to show that these funds have been paid to NACIT. I followed that until I got a little tired. Then I went to IFAD. I worked for IFAD, then again, it's only 1 year contribution. Huge money. I went there, that was the time I came to realize that there is now a very novel nomenclature in the accounting system of NACIT, suspension account. Each time you go to these to the operation, they say the money is in the suspension account, and it's not reflecting in our personal accounts. It's, Mr. Speaker, honorable members, it's a very serious thing. It's very worrisome. This is how well-earned money that has been deposited for at least one for your retirement. And if at any job you spend like 2-3 years and you have only 1 year in your account, it's too bad. I only hope, I'm going to be brief, I only hope, Mr. Speaker, thank God the NACIT authorities are here, that this suspension account, my money cannot be kept in suspension account.
The point is noted.
Yes, let it don't float. From here, I will cry loud that my money should go into my account, not suspension account. Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker.
Honorable Kodoma, you don't move from your seat. Honorable Kodoma. JB, you advised for seniority, so.
Mr. Speaker, honorable members.
Order!
This is a very fine amendment. Fine in the sense that NACIT has now NACIT has now expanded its activities. It is good that the administrative setup be expanded to be able to carry out the numerous work that this institution has to do. I'm sure I need not remind members that the people who set up NACIT had a view that NACIT was going to be challenged very seriously with very important issues bordering on the people of Sierra Leone. And hence, when NACIT was launched, they did create positions that will take into account what we are about to do now. So for me, the amendment is worthwhile, it's most welcome. We need not belabor the issue. I think the need for an additional Deputy Director General in NACIT is much overdue for the many reasons which had already been advanced by the Minister, by the Chairman of Labour Committee. We will only be adding to what has already been said. And I hope members will not use that opportunity to waste the house of, the time of this house in rectifying this amendment.
Are you talking to Honorable JB?
Mr. Speaker, I'm talking to everybody in this house. Yes. JB. In the light of what I've just said, Mr. Speaker, honorable members, I will kindly appeal to members of this house for us not to waste much time on this. It's a very simple process for us to carry out this amendment process. I thank you, Mr. Speaker.
And then Dr. Barnett Lai. After Honorable Ibi Kagboden, it's
thank you.
I've been advised to cut it short. And it seems it's the view of the House.
Mr. Speaker, honorable members, indeed, the presentation of the Honorable Minister of Labour
order
has made it very clear that there is need for us to expand the administration of NACIT by creating one more office of a Deputy Director General. From my experience in cabinet, I saw the difficulties ministers of social work of labor underwent whenever it had to do with NACIT. Because of the expansion and because of the expansive nature of NACIT, the minister was always very ill-briefed because NACIT itself had become a national issue, and therefore he needed more information from more officers. Today we already know that the two offices were already existing. But what we intend to do today, Mr. Speaker, honorable members, is to legalize the second office. It is clear from the minister himself that the second office was effectively utilized by NACIT itself to perform the functions of the of NACIT. But what was not present was a legal instrument to make the second office legal. So what we intend to do today is to ensure that will illegalize the second office, therefore, thereby creating two offices of director generals. And of course, suspend accounts will not be there. But may I state, Mr. Speaker, honorable members, before I sit down, is that the argument is already very clear, as made by the very eloquent Minister of Labour, that we needed a second Director General. But in appointing a second Director General, we should also make it very, very clear, Mr. Speaker, honorable members, that the second Director General should be of great use to the institution itself. Because we have come to the realization that the administrative aspect of NACID is not in question. What is in question is the technical aspect of NACID. And this is why NACID was utilizing a second Director General. Now, it is this second Director General, the technical man, that we should legalize so that we have these two Director Generals and to make good sense out of the operations of NACID. Like I said, Mr. Speaker, honorable members, the argument is simple. NACID has expanded. NACID needs more technical people. And therefore, I simply believe that the appointment of a second Director General makes good sense, like I said earlier on. But this second Director General, Mr. Speaker, should be of great use to NACID itself. We are not creating a second Director General just because we need a second Director General. We need a second Director General because we want him to be of great use, especially taking into consideration the technical aspect of NACID itself. So I would want to advise the board, I would want to advise other functionaries of NACID, that when we come to the point of appointing the second Director General after the approval by this parliament, we should take into consideration the fact that the administrative arm of NACID is important, just as the technical arm of NACID is also very important. So like we said, we are going to appoint two people. One of them will be clearly an administrator. The other will be an administrator cum technical officer, which is very, very important. Now, the minister himself has made the point that we are talking now about investment. NACID is investing in hotels and other aspects of national development. And of course, the private sector component is also creeping gradually into NACID. And therefore, it makes great sense for us to be able to have an officer that can help the Director General perform these duties. So, Mr. Speaker, honorable members, without wasting further time, I simply believe that this is a bill that is worth taking into consideration, and we pass it into law without wasting further time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, honorable members, from the minister and from the members of parliament that have taken the floor, actually the tax ahead of us or before us is really a simple tax, sensible one, a logical one, and one that will also improve on the workings of NACID. We have been told what used to happen, especially immediately after NACID was established, that we used to have two deputy director generals, each responsible for a specialized function or specialized functions. But as time went on, because these two positions were not formally institutionalized through the act that brought NACID into effect, one of those positions had to be done with. So what we are really doing today is to go back to where we were in 2003 when we had these two positions, and it was for very good and obvious reasons. I will not bore you with all those reasons, because the reasons have been put succinctly, and it's only right that as NACIT is growing, is expanding, and the number of employees in the country is also expanding, then we need to closely monitor the operations of NACIT and to ensure that the people's money, pensioners' money, are carefully handled so that at the end of the day, when you retire, you don't have to wait for 1 year or 2 years for you to get your retirement benefits. Before NACIT, we have seen situations in this country wherein people have died chasing meager pensions, very, very meager pensions. We have seen people who have died working up to the ripe age of 80 because there's nothing to look forward to when they retire. So now I'm sure everybody is looking forward to a decent retirement because of the establishment of NACIT in 2001. So we need not belabor this point. But honorable members, you know, I'm one that never wants an opportunity to slip by. I've been waiting for this opportunity. And please indulge me to say what I have to say. NACIT is under the Ministry of Labor and Social Security, a very important ministry. We have seen how NACIT has grown. We are seeing how employment is growing, both Sierra Leoneans and those who seek to come to our country and seek residence here. We have seen the industries that are coming now, the investment that are coming, and they come also with employment packages. And therefore, the Ministry of Labor is a very important ministry. We need to ensure that our employees are treated well. There is fair employment. Those that come into our country come and work legitimately. In fact, in other countries, the labor exchange is where you go and leave your name if you are looking for a job, or people who are seeking employees will come and leave their adverts. So it's a very important ministry. But allow me to say that of all the ministries in Sierra Leone, the Ministry of Labor is the worst housed. It's the worst located. It's the worst housed. It's the worst located. It's the worst ministry in terms of infrastructure, comfort, and everything. I went to the minister's office the last time. It is as hot as an oven. I'm telling you this. The staff there are so uncomfortable. The equipment they are using are all rickety. In the rainy season, you have to put buckets for you to collect water in that small cubicle that the minister is. This is serious. No, I'm coming. This is serious. This is serious because if the minister is responsible now for such huge money in the country and NACIT is even investing in infrastructure, I think what is wrong if a building could be put by NACIT to house the ministry and even some of the NACIT departments. This is serious because people's money are being invested. But we have a saying in Creole, SO2.
Order, honorable member.
SO2. Now money you they take for stone money. International people come to the Minister of Labor. This is serious. Our image as a country, as a ministry, is important. They come and they look, they go into this ministry and they ask, is this the ministry that is responsible for taking care of the labor situation of this country? And look at where they are, look at where they are housed. Honorable members, we have had buildings, government buildings that have been evacuated because new premises have been built for some of those ministries. I would have thought that after foreign ministry had moved, maybe two floors would have been given to the Ministry of Labor and Social Security. There are also other vacant ministries or ministries that are large enough that the Ministry of Labor could share. It is important. When international organizations come here, this is the first port of call after immigration to look at their residency status, their labor status, what they are supposed to do, how they are supposed to relate to workers, and everything. And yet, the ministry is housed in a cubicle. Yes! I'm saying this because I'm a Sierra Leonean, and you know what is good for the geese is also good for the gander. We are housing ministries, you know, in beautiful environments that may not be even contributing, that may not be even contributing as much as the Ministry of Labor and Social Security is contributing to the national good of this country. And yet they are housed in comfortable places, clean environment, AC, and here is the minister. So, Mr. Labor, where is the chairman? I want the chairman to be here.
The clerk is taking notes.
It is not enough for the chairman to come here and tell us about the historical development of Kokowat. Let him and his committee and all of us in parliament lead the advocacy and the campaign for us to move this ministry to a better and more decent environment. Please. Today he is there. Tomorrow he can be any one of you members of parliament. Yes, it's possible. So if the minister maybe is not advocating for himself, I am going to lead a personal crusade to ensure that we move this minister, we take him to a place that befits him. He was sweating profusely the last time I went to the office. Amen. Mr. Chairman of Labor and Social Security, I appreciate your historical analysis of NACIT. But I also want you to appreciate the historical devastated housing of the ministry. And please, let us lead a crusade to ensure that we advocate. It's still not too late. Let us look around the free town and look for ministries and infrastructures.
Honorable Dr. Suma, is it not important that you don't want to listen? No.
Listen.
Just listen and keep notes.
Let
and Honorable
Chairman,
please don't disturb the chairman.
Let the ministry and the chairman and the committee on labor also, please go out and scout and look for suitable offices that they can share. There are still offices, you know, that people can share. Floors. So please, this is Mr. Speaker. I said I don't want to miss this opportunity.
Order.
If he's in charge of such a huge institution that is now investing. With time, you know, there's nothing wrong if it can also invest in a ministry building, you know, that it can also share with the premier, with the NACIT itself. So this is my plea. We are all Sierra Leoneans. You know, when people come, they assess us. They assess our ministers, they assess us,
please.
And so forth and so on. Because this ministry is the first port of call of a lot of foreigners that come into this country. Okay, The way they see the ministry is the way they will attach importance to the function of that ministry, and even their own compliance to the labor law is also a matter of the infrastructure and the ministry itself. It's very important. So this is my plea, all of us members of parliament, let us ensure that this minister is comfortably and decently housed. It does not, the current abode of the ministry does not befit the position and the function of that ministry. Mr. Speaker, honorable members, with this, I think this bill has, it's not controversial, it is sensible, it is rational, and we must go ahead and ratify it. I thank you very much.
Mr. Speaker, honorable members, we want to thank the various contributors, starting from the minister and the chair of the Labour Committee and all the MPs. I think the bottom line is that we are all extremely proud of Nasik. As a creation of Parliament, it has grown. It has increased its activities and functions for the benefit of all Sierra Leoneans. The issue before us this morning is merely to legitimate an existing position that already exists within the administration of NASIT. Sensibly, they had already gone ahead and employed a second deputy director general because of the various functions that they have. And we hope that when we finally ratify that position this morning, their functions will be enhanced and they are no longer going to be working without a legitimate backup in their laws. So the issue before us is merely to ratify for a position that already is in existence. But Mr. Speaker, having said that, let me go to the adage that to whom much is given, much is expected. I was indeed taken aback by the contribution of Honorable Mustafa from Kailan as to what had affected him before coming to Parliament. If such complaints are coming from such a very huge institution from which we expect so much, I must confess that I was a little bit taken aback. I stand here also as a victim myself, Mr. Speaker. I'm already a retired pensioner from Parliament, and when I came to Parliament this time round, deduction was done to my salary for 1 month. And since then, even when I wrote to NASI to say that I was not supposed to pay deduction from my salary, nothing has ever been done to the extent that I just felt tired and forgot about it. If such criticisms are coming from people from within this house, you want to imagine what is coming from the other people who do not have this type of privilege to stand there and make the complaint. As I said, to whom much is given, much is expected. We are hoping that NASIT will grow, not only in the functions, but in terms of rendering the services to the people of this country so that people can be able to effectively benefit from the payment of their gratuities and retirement benefits as and when they retire. I hope that with the addition of the second director general now, we hope that those functions will be facilitated so that people will not suffer unduly for a long time before receiving their benefits. Having said that, I want to thank all the contributors who contributed to this debate.
and to request that we ratify the amendment accordingly. And thank you very much, honorable members.
Mr. Minister, you might have some comments to make. Not about your office. And if you don't, if you
Mr. Have, Chairman.
Yes.
Honorable members. Mr. Speaker.
You're not in cabinet.
I want to thank this honorable house for all the wonderful contributions. We are on the track to improve NACIT as a national trust and insurance. We are aware of some of the gaps, as we heard from some of the contributors explaining their concerns. We are very much aware, and we are working assiduously to improve the operations, the processes, to integrate technology that will actually help to alleviate some of these gaps. It is sad when somebody is contributing and when it's time to receive your duly revenue, and then you have problems. No one will be happy. So NACIT is actually doing things to work out issues and to work out some modalities how we can amend some of these problems. I'm sure there are so many other things that NACIT is working on. As a minister, supervising minister, we are going to do the best for us. It's not only for any other person, but all of us have stake in the trust because we are growing older. And soon we'll be depending on the trust. If we don't make it, and then it will affect us. But we cannot wait to get our benefit as pensioners. So this is our challenge. As a minister, I will do my best with the board in charge of the trust so that we'll correct some of these abnormalities. Mr. Mr. Speaker, honorable members, I'm sure I have to take a Fifth Amendment on the office. I have to focus on the amendment of this act. I appreciate the contribution of our minority leader. I'm sure it is a concern for all Sierra Leoneans. And I'm sure we are working hard to do something about the situation. I think it is hard.
While splitting the Fifth Amendment.
So at this point, Mr. Speaker, honorable members, I move that the bill is read the second time.
Honorable members, the question is that the bill be read the second time. All those in favor say aye. All those against say nay. The ayes have it.
The bill entitled the National Social Security and Insurance Trust Amendments Act 2016, being an act to amend the National Social Security and Insurance Trust Act 2001 to provide for the appointment of two Deputy Director Generals, has been read the second time. Committee stage. Clause 1 to stand part of the bill. Mr. Minister. Minister.
Order. Mr. Chairman,
I move that clause 1 stand part of the bill.
Honourable members, the question is that clause 1 stand part of the bill. Clause 1.
Amendment is well put legally.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Mr. Minister.
Mr. Chairman, honorable members, I move that the clause 1 haven't gone through the processes.
No. Repeat the same question you did.
Part of the bill.
Do it, go over it again, please, Mr. Minister.
Mr. Chairman, honorable members, I move that clause 1 stand part of the bill.
Honorable members, the question is that clause 1 do stand part of the bill. All those in favor say aye. All those against say nay. The ayes have it.
Clause 1 form part of the bill. The House resumes. Mr. Minister, please report on the bill.
Mr. Speaker, honorable members, I move that having gone through the stages of discussions.
Mr. Minister, please take your time and go back home.
Mr. Speaker, honorable members of Parliament, I move that the bill entitled National Security, Social Security and Insurance Trust Amendment Act 2016 have gone through the committee of the whole House with no amendment. I now move that the bill be read the third time and pass into law.
Honourable members, the question is that the bill be read the third time and passed into law. All those in favour say aye. All those against say nay. The ayes have it.
Entitled the National Social Security and Insurance Trust Amendment Act 2016, being an act to amend the National Social Security and Insurance Trust Act 2001 to provide for the appointment of 2 deputy Director General, has been read a third time and passed into law.
Mr. Minister, you are at liberty to leave. Thank you very much.
Announcement. The following parliamentary committees meet.
Order, honourable members.
The following parliamentary committees meet after sitting is adjourned. 1, Committee on Local Government and Rural Development in Committee Room Number 1. 2, Committee on Labour and Industrial Relations, Conference Hall of the Administrative Building. 3, Committee on Foreign Affairs and International Cooperation, tomorrow in Committee Room Number 1.
That was announced yesterday, Mr. Yansane. This parliament is too busy to be. They should be using the clerks to send messages to members. Well, this house is too busy for these things to be repeated. You have to redirect yourself and find other ways of communicating.
Okay. Noted, sir.
Honourable member, there is no SO 23 today. You have an announcement? Proceed with the announcement.
Mr. Speaker, honourable members, the meeting was scheduled for today has been postponed Yes. It's been postponed until the 22nd of March.
Mr. Chief Whip.
That is the turning
in future,
of the
soil. Thank you very much. In future, as I've said, there should be means of communicating committee meetings rather than wasting the time of the House. Yeah, we must move from this point. We have to go. Honourable members, these sittings are adjourned to Tuesday, the 5th of April, 2016.